Praise God. It's pretty hard to have something to say after that. I want to read the Easter story to you this morning from Luke's Gospel. We'll begin in Luke 23 and verse 55, and we'll read through Luke chapter 24 and verse 9. Before we begin, I need to warn you, Satan tried to choke me this morning in the sunrise service, but he didn't get it done. And there's no telling what he might try to do here. All right, very good. Beginning in Luke chapter 23 and verse 55. Now the women who had come with him out of Galilee followed after, and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and perfumes. And on the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened that while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling apparel. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Pray with me for a moment. Father, I pray that you bless your word this morning and open each heart to receive it. Father, thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. There are two parts to every sermon. And I'm going to do the first part now. You take the scripture and you go back through it and you look at the different parts of the scripture and look at them in detail and see what they say. It talks about the women. These are the women that have been with Jesus from the very beginning. Mary that's spoken of is the one that had seven spirits, evil spirits, cast out of her, and had been a constant follower of Jesus. And the women were always there alongside him and being supportive of everything he did. Now, at this point, they had seen him crucified. They had seen that he was dead when the soldier rammed the spear up in through his side and blood and water issued out. They had seen all that. They had seen Joseph of Arimathea come and take his body down and take it to his own unused tomb. And they went and they watched all of this because they had work to do. It says that they went home and they prepared the spices that they would need and the perfumes to prepare his body. On the Sabbath day, on Saturday, they rested. And then early on Sunday morning, they came to the tomb and they didn't find what they expected. The Bible says that the stone was rolled away. The stone was not rolled away to let Jesus out. The stone was rolled away to let the women in. And they went into the tomb and they saw where the body had lain, but the body of Jesus was gone. They misunderstood, and it says that they were perplexed. Now, that's just a fancy word for saying, what's going on? What has happened here? What's this all about? In the midst of that, as they pondered what could have happened, two angels appeared to them, and the two angels came and they told them that they didn't need to seek the living one among the dead. You know, people still do that today. That'll preach, by the way. There are people seeking life in dead things, in possessions, seeking life in dead relationships with people that are lost. They're seeking life in dead religion. But now that's another sermon. I'm not going to go there. The passage says that he is risen, and in Matthew's gospel it adds, as he said. He is risen as he said. And then the angels told them to remember. Remember. Now, what we just did is, yes, it's part of the sermon. It's the what in the sermon. But you know, the important part of every message is the so what. All right, these are the facts. These are the stories. So what? And the sad thing is that the vast majority of people in this world live as if it didn't mean a thing. They could care less. Jesus died, oh well, so what? So what? And so as we look this morning, I want us to spend our time thinking about the so what. First of all, because he lives, he is still alive, and he is among us today. Now, Jesus very carefully told people throughout his entire ministry, he didn't give them a list of things and say, believe this, believe this, believe this, believe this. He said, believe in me. Jesus' entire message was centered on trusting him. And now that he's raised from the dead, he's still alive. Do you believe that Jesus is alive today? Is he alive in your heart? Is he alive in your life? Is he alive in the life of this church? This is his body. This is his church. As we think about this, this is not just a good story. And this is not simply a history lesson. This is not even a good holy day or holiday. This very simply is the day that we mark the resurrection, the coming back to life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he lives forevermore. Amen. And we need to commemorate it every day, every single day. I think about Jesus as he lives today and the words that he said concerning that. He said in Matthew, in that passage that we call the Great Commission, he said, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In Hebrews 13 and verse 5, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He lives. We sing the song, I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. And we sing, He lives within my heart. He lives within my heart. And the truth is simply this: because he lives, I live and walk in newness of life. Now, is that the kind of risen Son of God that you experience every day in your life? I pray that it is. Secondly, when we think about the so what of the resurrection, I want to remind you that the resurrection puts the stamp of God's approval on every word that Jesus ever said. Every word. When Jesus was speaking to those that were hurting, those that were experiencing grief, he said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And every word of that is true. Every word of that is true. And I'm not trying to push things, but I look forward to the day when Jesus comes, takes me home personally. It's true. It's just simply true. I think about that, and I think about all that he's promised in his word. And I want you to know that every single promise that he made is true, every single one. I want you to remember that not only the promises, but every claim he made. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ, however you want to say it. And the truth is simply this: Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is Lord. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die." You see, there is one way to the Father. That's why a lot of religions would like to keep Jesus in the grave. Because he's raised from the dead, because he's alive today, then this promise of his is true. And he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And I want you to know that that claim is truth. Easter, it said, reminds us that you can put truth in the grave, but it won't stay there. It won't stay there. Thirdly, he is alive. You talk about so what? Well, he's alive, he's Lord, therefore death has no hold on me as a believer. Death has no hold on you if you've entrusted your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You won't die if you've given your life to Christ. You'll simply one day leave this address and go home. And go home. Praise God, you won't have to look for a house. Amen. He built one. It's there for you. I'll bet it's got your name on it. I look for a place and it'll say the Scots, Carol and Bob. You see, I love the fact that Jesus Christ is not iffy. Because he lives, death has no hold on me. And I'll tell you how that worked. One day my old life ended at the cross. And on my knees, as a 12-year-old boy, I begged, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And he took every sin that I ever committed or that I ever will commit, and he nailed them to his cross. And when I stood up from that cross and walked away, the second chapter of my life began. And I lived that life in Christ, in the Son of God, who died for me. The Bible says that old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The life of a Christian is a life of victory. And I always try to be careful when I read this because I get excited and I overproject and I hurt myself. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 54. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O death, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, because of the resurrection, and remember, we're asking, so what? Because of the resurrection, I can live boldly. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, to me, that's bold living. That's bold. You know what? There's no such thing as a wimpy Christian. We got some boldness going for us if we believe that Jesus is alive in us. We've got some boldness going on for us. You see, because of the resurrection, I live boldly. There's no fear of death. Now, that takes death out of the picture. And that changes everything. That changes everything. I'm not waiting to die. I'm living each single day in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, folks, we have a life to live, and we need to live it purposefully. Did you know that God has a plan for each of you? Oh, you need to go back and you need to read in Jeremiah. And the passage says that I have plans for you to give you a future and a hope. And regardless of where you're at now, I want you to know that at the end of the day, God has a plan for you and a place for you. All the stuff that we go through, they're like the little speed bumps of life. Don't you hate speed bumps? Especially those ones you don't see coming. That's what life is. It's filled with speed bumps. But none of that really matters, because at the end of the day, God has a plan and a purpose for my life, and I need to be living my life in His purpose. In His purpose, and I need to live powerfully. And I can live powerfully because I'm set free. You see, the message of Jesus is not called good news for nothing. My sins are gone. The charges against me have been nailed to the cross. The blood of Jesus has washed me from all uncleanness and sin, and there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, this is personal, and you've got to do your own testimony of this, but I'm going to tell you a few things about me very quickly. I am born again. I am adopted into the family of God. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I am indwelled by the powerful Holy Spirit of God, and He overshadows me and He undergirds me and goes before me and even cleans up behind me. I'm saved, forgiven, called, sent. I am accompanied. I am commanded. I am instructed, blessed, filled, and used by the living God for His purpose. Now, that's just me. What are you waiting for? Sometimes I wonder what people are waiting for. They heard the so what? What are you waiting for? We have good news to share. There are precious people that need to hear about God's love. The Bible says that God commanded His love toward us in that yet while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Oh, church, live it. Share it. He's alive. Let's pray together. Father, what a glorious, glorious day it is when your church gathers to proclaim you as the living Lord. Father, we don't do that enough. We ought to do it every time that we gather as your church. Because, Father, at the end of the day, it's all yours. Father, I don't know if you've spoken to hearts this morning. I pray that there are some that are encouraged. Pray that there are some that are lifted up. But I also pray, Father, that if there's one here that doesn't understand, one here to which this doesn't make sense, one here that is troubled in heart and knows there's something wrong, and they've tried everything that's come along and it's not worked. Oh God, if there's one, touch their heart through your Spirit and draw them to the cross just as you did me. Father, I simply pray that you work your will in the life of each one, that you might have honor and praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to stand. I invite you to stand prayerfully, quietly, as you consider the living Christ and what He means in your life. It may be that you've right now understood that all you're getting from the power of God is the static electricity. You're not plugged in. You need to come to Jesus. You need to bow in His presence. You need to repent of your sin. And you need to confess Him as Lord. You can do that this morning. All you need to do is walk right down here and I'll help you. You don't come to me, but it'd be my privilege to help you as you seek the Lord in a personal way in your life. Maybe that you just need to come and be a part of this church and you put it off for whatever reason, but you know that you know that you know that this is where you belong. Will you come? Might be that you simply need to start fresh. I have no idea what God's laid on your heart. All I can do is extend His invitation to each of you. The praise team will sing, and that makes it easy. Step out and come just as you are.